From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series devoted to the life and ministry of one of the greatest figures in the history of the Christian Church, the Apostle Paul. As we read of the marvelous transformation of this man from Saul of Tarsus, who was rabid in his persecution of the followers of Christ, into the flaming evangelist, Paul the Apostle, we are inclined to view Paul's conversion as something extraordinary. Of course, Paul was a unique figure in many ways, and yet, as Dr. Cairns will seek to show, many of the aspects of Paul's salvation experience are common to all who come to Christ to be saved. The first feature of Paul's conversion is true of all Christians. He received mercy. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the opening portion of a message entitled, The Full Extent of the Grace of God. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook.
Our devotional for today is entitled, The King's Highway. The text is Isaiah 35, verse 8. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. The way of holiness is so straight and plain that the simplest minds cannot go astray if they constantly follow it. The worldly wise have many twists and turns, and yet they make terrible blunders and generally miss their end. Worldly policy is a poor, short-sighted thing, and when men choose it as their road, it leads them over dark mountains. Gracious minds know no better than to do as the Lord bids them. But this keeps them in the King's highway and under royal protection. Let the listener never for a moment attempt to help himself out of a difficulty by a falsehood or by a questionable act, but let him keep in the middle of the high road of truth and integrity, and he will be following the best possible course. In our lives we must never practice circular sailing nor dream of shuffling. Be just and fear not. Follow Jesus and heed no evil consequences. If the worst of ills could be avoided by wrongdoing, we should in the very attempt have fallen into an evil worse than any other ill could be. God's way must be the best way. Follow it, though men think you a fool, and you will be truly wise. Lord, lead thy servants in a plain path because of their enemies.
Thank you.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study today.
Book of Acts, chapter 9, reading from verse 17 to verse 22. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightst receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith. and arose and was baptized. When he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed, and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Then Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 to 17. Galatians 1, 13 to 17. You've heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals, in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. And finally, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 16. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to verse 16. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to these various readings from his own precious word for his name's sake. I will want to refer to most of what we have read tonight, but particularly I would use verse 13 of 1 Timothy chapter 3 as the text that most nearly sums up everything else. Speaking of himself as being before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, the apostle makes this great statement, but I obtained mercy. Every conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ is a one-of-a-kind experience. And yet, in another way, every conversion to Jesus Christ is essentially the same as every other conversion to Jesus Christ. Saul of Tarsus, later Paul the Apostle, was a unique man, and certainly a unique servant of the Savior. Thus, in a way, what happened to him on the Damascus Road was unique. But we can only make that statement in a very limited sense. What was unique about Paul's experience on the Damascus Road was the immense spiritual capacity which the Lord imparted to him. A spiritual capacity that, personally, I believe, has never been equaled, never mind surpassed, in the almost 2,000 years of church history that have come and gone since then. That's the unique feature. But the character of the work that the Lord did in Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road, and the character of the gifts which the Lord communicated to Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus Road, is the very same as he communicates to every other person whom he seeth. In that sense, the conversion of Saul is exactly the same as the conversion of any other person. And that makes Paul's own later analysis of what happened to him on the Damascus Road all the more important and all the more instructive to every Christian. As we study how the Apostle Paul viewed the Lord's dealings with him, in such portions as we have been reading together tonight, we come to see the full extent of saving grace. On the Damascus Road, the apostle, as he later became, received from Christ everything, every spiritual benefit which he needed for time and for eternity. Now, don't misunderstand me. I do not for a moment mean to say that Paul never needed any further experience of Christ or any deeper fellowship with Christ than he achieved on the Damascus Road. Clearly, he did. What I do mean to say is that God made all grace to abound to him, that he did a deep and an extensive work in Saul of Tarsus that day, that he communicated his divine favor to him in a boundless fullness, that he made this man instantaneously a spiritual man, to whom he gave a spiritual capacity, which he then set about filling with all the spiritual gifts and virtues that were necessary for him to live the Christian life and to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul describes these actions of the Lord in those places of Scripture in which he revisits the Damascus Road by way of testimony. For example, in Acts 22, 14 and 15, Paul is recounting to the Jewish leaders how Ananias came to him in his room in Damascus. And he said, "The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will, and see that just one, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard." Now, that would appear to be a startling statement to one who was just newly converted. But I don't think that Saul of Tarsus was at all surprised to hear such language from Ananias. The reason I say that is that according to Paul in Acts 26, verse 16 to 18, the Lord Jesus, in speaking to him on the Damascus Road, had said as much as Ananias later said, and indeed he had gone a lot further. Looking back to that experience, Paul said right there, as he lay in the dust on the Damascus Road, the Lord Jesus said, "Rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, that is the Jews, and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me." That's all while he's still in the dust on the Damascus Road. That's the full speech of the Lord Jesus to him on that occasion. We have read Paul's summary of that in Galatians 1. He said, "It pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me in order that I might preach him among the heathen." It pleased God to reveal his Son in me in order that I might preach him among the heathen. As we have read in our text this evening, he said, "I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy." And in verse 16, he goes a little further. "For this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Now from these places, we may note that Paul received four things which summarize for us the full extent of saving grace to him. Let me start right at the beginning where he starts. The four things which he received. First, he received mercy. In verse 13 of 1 Timothy 1, he said, "But I obtained mercy." Actually, as Paul wrote that, while it doesn't sound very good in English, it's much more dramatic, much more gripping. What he says literally was, "I was mercied. I was a blasphemer, etc., but I was mercied." The gem of God's mercy sparkles all the more lustrously when we set it against the black backdrop of man's depravity. And that's why in this portion, the Apostle Paul, in order to magnify this mercy which he received, spoke of his own great sin. When I read these words, I think of the great Scottish preacher Alexander White, the most celebrated preacher, I suppose, or one of the most celebrated preachers in the Scottish Presbyterian Church in his day. Alexander White got up in a service in his church in Edinburgh, and they said, "I have discovered the greatest sinner in Edinburgh." And all the gossip mongers sat up with their ears perking to hear what name he was going to drop. They said, "His name is Alexander White."
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.